This is your World War III update. We have some massive news to report today, my friends, so I hope you're sitting down. I'm going to try to make this quick. We had a major National Security Council emergency meeting take place in the Oval Office just an hour ago. Now, this has something to do with one of two things. We know it is in response to the really bad day that the U.S. Air Force had over the skies of Iran that I'm going to enumerate in just a moment, but I also think it has something to do with the deliberation of the use of unconventional munitions to deal with these impenetrable, hardened targets, these missile cities inside Iran. First, let's talk about the bad day that the Air Force had. And it was a really bad day that caught a lot of people off guard because apparently the Iranian air defense is still very formidable. They are using infrared technology, thermal imagers, and heat-seeking technology in order to target warplanes and helicopters across the country, and is proving to be quite effective. These do not emit radar signals, so they cannot be picked up by the pilots, so they're basically sitting ducks. Now, what's happened is an F-15 has went down over the country. One of the pilots apparently is unaccounted for of these various aircraft that have went down. Now, two rescue helicopters, at least at the time of making this video, have been struck in their attempts to try to rescue these fighter pilots that went down in Iranian territory. Again, one is still unknown in terms of their whereabouts. There were Iranian forces using small arms fire as well as air defense to try to bring down these aircraft. We had a Warthog blown out of the sky. We had an F-15 shot down. We had an F-16 that was struck but was able to make it back to base. And I believe there were two KC-135 Stratotankers that had to do emergency landings in the region due to unknown circumstances. So it appears as though the Iranians may have been playing possum, may have been doing the old rope-a-dope tactic, feigning weakness so that the Americans would let their guard down. Now, it might be that the U.S. is reevaluating and reassessing the prospect of conducting a ground operation in Iran, or these rescue operations will just be the beginning of the slow burn mission creep that sees a certain ground invasion in Iran. The renowned journalist Seymour Hersh, who has an impeccable track record in terms of his not just predictions but documentations and contacts, well, he claims that the ground invasion is already a go and it's just a matter of time when it starts. Now, it is a long weekend, so I suspect that they're going to be up to a lot of shenanigans over the weekend. We know that simultaneous with all of this stuff going on, this emergency meeting, we have strikes across Iran that appear to be blacking out large areas across that country. So it looks like they've already started targeting the energy infrastructure a couple days ahead of Trump's ultimatum to Iran, and it appears as though Iran today has rejected any negotiations outright. It is now official. Negotiations are in deadlock. They have not agreed to a U.S. proposed 48-hour ceasefire, which was attempted to be brokered through the Pakistani intermediary. But more importantly, what's concerning me right now is you're having several U.S. media outlets report that the Iranian defenses in terms of their fortifications surrounding their missile cities are being rebuilt within hours of being struck. Okay, so they're already crafting a narrative. They are attempting to manufacture consent for the use of unconventional munitions. They have thrown every single thing they have. 2,000-pound bombs, massive ordnance penetrators, MOABs. I'm pretty sure we've seen some MOABs used because we've been seeing massive explosions, and they don't have many of those in their arsenal. And as I've always said, once they run out of conventional munitions, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to look at their very large tactical nuclear stockpile of bunker buster type munitions, and they're going to leverage those, and they're going to justify it as a way to bring the war to a rapid close. Because if they irradiate these regions, and that means that they become uninhabitable. And it really is Second to the dropping of mines, possibly one of the only solutions to bringing down these indomitable fortresses, which are buried under hundreds of meters of granite. Okay, there's no way that they can target these things without doing some sort of ground raid. And it looks like that is now going to be called into question, because that's a lot of aircraft for the U.S. Air Force to be losing in just 12 hours. Now, this could just mean that we're seeing a lot more aircraft enter the space that are not being shot down, and because they're saturating it and there is a greater amount of targets, that the Iranians are just being able to strike them more. We did see a refueling tanker, refueling helicopters, apparently close to the Iranian border. So if they're doing that and you can visually see it at the range that helicopters fly at, then obviously the air defense is spotty, right? Iran is a massive country, and we've seen with Russia and Ukraine, air defense is not perfect. And just because you might have a air defense that can secure, you know, a 400-mile radius, doesn't mean that that is going to be impervious to potential attacks. So there's a lot of surprises in store. Now, we have a large fishing vessel that has been burning in the Persian Gulf, and calling it a fishing vessel doesn't really do it justice, because this is a massive conflagration. I can't show you the video today. And just to be clear, I wanted to make sure that I do this topic justice before I move forward here. So the New York Times has said, I know I'm jumping around a bit here, I got to make this quick, I got chickens to attend to, there's a lot of work to do before SHDF takes place. Iran is quickly repairing missile bunkers, according to a U.S. intelligence report. Now, we know that Trump has purged the upper echelon. Him and Hegseth are getting all the generals in line for whatever it is they're about to do. I think it's Day X related. And if you didn't see my video yesterday, where I'm speculating about what the true reason for some of these legislations that are passing, or rules that have been changed with respect to how things are done on military bases and enlistment standards and things of that nature, I'd encourage you to go watch that video. I'll give you a quick recap today. But essentially what's going on right now is they're really crafting this narrative that the only way they can get at these bunkers is if they use an unconventional weapon like one of these B-61 tactical nukes. I think that's what they're setting us up for here. They're already targeting civilian bridges that serve no military function whatsoever, that can't be served by roads that are just longer detours. So we know that they're running out of targets. They may currently be doing a targeted assassination, because the strikes that we're seeing across Iran today are quite numerous and quite intense. So, getting back to what's going on in Hormuz, we know we have a fishing vessel that is burning. We have an A-10 Warthog that's been shot out of the sky. Trump today is boasting, and I quote, "With a little more time, we can easily open the Hormuz Strait, take the oil, and make a fortune. It would be a gusher for the world." President Donald J. Trump. Well, if that's the case, then why is the aircraft carrier operating so far out into the Arabian Sea? And why are A-10 Warthogs being shot down? I mean, these are questions that need answers. Not that we're trying to derive anything that is rational from a Trump tweet, but there it is. Now, he just tweeted a couple hours ago, and this was a short one. He says, "Keep the oil, anyone?" So he's proposing that they try to keep the oil. What oil is he referring to? A lot of people are presuming that this is code for we're going into Iran to take the oil. Well, it's not so easy. For starters, Iran is going to basically burn the house down if that happens, to make sure that nobody gets the oil. And it's going to be such an untenable situation that the likelihood that any oil company is going to want to invest in that country after, for years, if not decades, is something that is not feasible at all. What I think he's referring to is the fact that they're going to start commandeering and boarding and seizing Iranian oil tanker vessels that are coming out of the Persian Gulf. And what that means is that they're going to be messing with Chinese money. And you know what that means? China's going to have to get involved. This is what I was predicting weeks ago. I'm surprised that it's taken this long to get here. Yes, they've allowed the Iranians to send their oil out to sea in order to suppress oil prices. But as things get down to the wire, I don't think that is a nicety that they are going to extend to the Iranians, okay? So, in terms of what else is going on, we have the situation in the Gulf countries is getting worse. And this is what you need to watch this weekend, because if they've already went up the escalation ladder and are committing quote unquote war crimes by targeting civilian energy infrastructure, you can expect that the Iranians are going to respond. And they are going to respond by continuing to target the oil and gas infrastructure, as well as the energy facilities and the desalination plants across the Gulf regions. And they already have been doing that in the last 24 hours. However, the Iranians claim that it was in fact the Israelis who are using drones, which are made to look like Iranian drones, to target facilities like desalination plants inside Kuwait. So who are you going to believe? Regardless, it's a dumpster fire all around. What I'm trying to say is that I would expect, if it is true that Trump has greenlit attacks on Iranian civilian power infrastructure, that means all bets are off. And that means that they're going to start hitting these Gulf states very, very hard. Now, in the Gulf states, the penalties for taking a picture, for taking a video and uploading it to the internet, or even talking disparagingly or critically about the administrations there, if you can call them that, their monarchies, could lead to jail time. 2 to 5 years, in fact. In fact, a British flight attendant who posted an airport drone attack photo and the London tourist who pictured an airstrike both now face up to 2 years in a United Arab Emirates jail for cyber crimes. And they are among dozens of people potentially facing the same fate. So when you see these influencers who are currently broadcasting from the UAE, be they Mario Knoefel or Andrew Tate, and they're trying to downplay how bad everything is, just understand that they have a mandate or just an unwritten understanding with the authorities there that they're not going to talk about the situation in a way that amplifies panic whatsoever. But it's pretty bad if you're putting people in jail for 2 years just for showing the consequences of Iranian attacks. That means that they're trying to do damage control and they're trying to minimize panic. These countries know that they are 90% immigrants in some cases, okay? And those immigrants require inputs and imports in terms of food and water. They require functioning desalination plants, and they know that there's going to be a large-scale mutiny if shit ever hit the fan. In fact, there have been uprisings already in Bahrain and Kuwait. There's resistance in the streets right now to those, for lack of better terms, regimes. And it's a very, very tenuous situation at best. So keep an eye on that. But it's a sign that things are devolving quickly. And of course, as these are a primary net oil and gas exporter nations, this is going to rock the global economy. Things, the worst case scenario is truly unfolding. Like, you could not have picked a worse time to start a war in the Middle East. Because if this had started in fall, when all the crops had already been in the ground and maybe things had calmed down by the following spring, then we could ensure that we would start to see fertilizer and agricultural products flow outside the region in a timely manner that they were needed. But the fact that this happened at the absolute worst time, when all of the farmers were relying on all of those products to get their crops in the ground. So I'm not sure if they had factored this in to their planning, or maybe they just didn't care. Now, we all know that over the last 24 hours, there's been a massive purging of the upper echelon of the military. I just want to give you a quick backstory recap to all this, just so everybody is apprised of the severity of this situation. Yesterday, I put forth the theory that they're essentially getting ready for a military takeover from the top down. And I provided evidence, a variety of anecdotal evidence, maybe more circumstantial than anecdotal. But we have the hasty raising of the enlistment age. We have the automation of selective service. We have the arming of a selective loyalty class within military bases under the guise of being pro-2A and preventing embarrassing situations like have happened in the base in the past where you have these active shooters go rogue and there's not enough military police, and so they have to rely on local law enforcement, which just seems weird, the military relying on local law enforcement. But I suspect that the approval process for this is going to be very preferential to those who are willing to toe the party line, so to speak, and be the lapdogs of Pete Hegseth and his entourage. They're going to be purging the upper ranks. They've already gotten rid of the Army Chief of Staff, Randy George, who's one of the few guys who expressed concerns about conducting a ground operation inside Iran. So the purging continues. I believe there's been 4 high-ranking generals that have been purged in the last 24 hours alone. We have the proposal for a 50% military budget increase, which will be the biggest in history, putting the U.S. military budget, even proportionally speaking, over that which it was during World War II in the thick of a looming debt crisis. Okay. We have, of course, the rally around the flag moments that have happened, calling all the generals to the base not too long ago. We have ICE testing the parameters of what the domestic population will allow and tolerate in order to gauge what resistance will be to the upcoming ground operation in Iran and whatever else they're planning around the world. I mean, we really could be on the precipice of day X here, and they're just getting ready, getting all the pieces moved into place to do effective crowd control when the shit hits the fan. We know they have the National Reaction Rapid Response Force that is, I believe, 20,000, possibly 40,000 National Guardsmen that are going to be trained to rapidly deploy throughout the country. That is already currently in operation. And now they're going for the religious mandate, ironically, on Good Friday, the day that Christians believe that Jesus died for their sins. Okay. So here we have the head of the U.S. military archdiocese, the bishop with direct authority over every Catholic chaplain in the armed forces, has declared the Iran war is unjust ahead of an interview set to air on CBS this Easter Sunday. Now, I believe that Hegseth just purged the current U.S. military, like one of the head chaplains in the U.S. military. Now, I don't know the terminology, the Christian. I was, you know, raised a Catholic, but I don't, in terms of how it works with the military. Anyways, one of the top religious guys in the military was just purged. So the Hegseth and Trump are looking for a religious mandate here, somebody who will basically try to rally all of the Christians for the crusade against Iran, as crazy as this is. So Pete Hegseth fired the Army Chief of Chaplains, the first time this has ever happened. Hegseth wants all religious exemptions to be denied, and he demanded all conscientious objectors and religious exemption packets denied, and the general said no. So he got rid of them. Now, this one is huge. Get a load of this. Germany is saying that if you were a male between the ages of 17 and 45, you now need permission from the army to leave the country for more than 3 months. Now, it's not entirely clear as to whether or not these are just people who are in the militia there or the military, or if it's all males. But this is serious because this means they're expected to potentially deploy in the next 3 months. What that means is that they're either going to be getting involved in Iran or shit's about to hit the fan in the Baltics with Russia, because the Russian situation is not getting any better. There have been massive exchanges that if this Iran war was not happening right now, people would be very concerned that that situation was about to go nuclear, because we are seeing more attacks inside. I can't even keep track anymore. Every day there's 2 or 3 deep strikes, thousands of kilometers, not thousands, but over 1,000 kilometers into Russian territory using either these, what are they called? The flaming flamingo missiles, or the long range drones that Iran or Ukraine uses. And so it's looking like the situation is seriously escalating. But the fact that they're not allowing able-bodied males to leave the country for the next 3 months without getting approval is saying a lot. Okay, we remember the Australian Prime Minister said it's going to be a really rough 3 months. Keir Starmer came out before Trump gave his speech and said, yeah, it's going to be a really rough 3 months. So, guys, just, you know, double down on your preps in any way that you could. Now, I was doing some research because everybody's talking about Trump potentially being tried for war crimes. Well, I'm not sure if you guys recall, but in 2024, SCOTUS said the president basically gets total immunity from official acts that he does as president, and war crimes would be covered under military orders, drone strikes, you know, the Soleimani hit, all that stuff would be covered under these official commander-in-chief responsibilities. So he's effectively indemnified against war crimes. So this is why they're just going for broke. They simply don't care at this point in time, all right? So prosecutors can't charge Trump for any of those types of things, but they can't even use evidence from that. And this, I don't know if this is properly written here, but basically anything that is unofficial or privately related, like the Epstein stuff, yeah, he is still not immune from that. But anything he does as president, which is not to say he's completely absolved of responsibility for the Geneva Conventions and things like that, but they're not even party to the Roman Statute, so it doesn't matter. They're not a member of the International Criminal Court, so at the end of the day, who's really going to charge you, right? But what this means is that it's going to be very difficult for him to be tried for any sort of war crimes, no matter how egregious and obvious they might be. There's been major cyber outages in Russia. Banking systems, one of their largest Russian state-owned banks, has been down periodically. It looks like there was a big cyber attack that took place, or the targeting of the actual hardware that allows Russian internet to function. As I told you yesterday, they're training people to use rotary phones. They're going back to this analog tech. Remember, it was the Russians who famously use vacuum tubes in a lot of their electronics in order to be EMP resistant. And so they're getting ready for day X. They're getting ready for nuclear war. And people better take notice, because we certainly aren't here. And this is a big, big tell. I'm going to leave you with this. Credit default swaps, okay? Investors are hedging against corporate defaults at a record pace. Trading volume in the world's largest credit default swap, which is essentially like insurance for your investments, surged 69% in Q1 of 2026 to $4.5 trillion, the highest on record. This exceeds the previous record set in Q2 2025 during the tariff turmoil, which was only 36%. So almost double that. This is also 350% higher than the $1 trillion right before the pandemic. The surge has been driven by the Iran war and growing concerns that AI could reshape the entire industries and weaken their ability to service debt. That is from the Kobesi, I believe they call it, pronounce it Kobesi letter. Anyways, guys, I got to go. My chicken coop needs cleaning. Those little buggers are cranking out 24 eggs. We got 24 chickens, and pretty much every day we get between 20 to 24 eggs. And we're just, you know, getting used to this homestead thing, this self-reliance thing. We got the solar panels working. We got the greenhouse that we're going to start getting prepared here if summer ever comes. And we got a massive orchard that is starting to take root. And so I look forward to sharing the upgrades with the property to you guys in the coming weeks ahead. I just hope that people are taking this stuff seriously. And like I said a couple days ago, whatever you need for the gardening season this year, you better go and get it now. Go and get it right now, because the way this is going, you should be preparing. All the evidence is there. Let's hope it doesn't. Let's hope this is resolved on Monday by the stroke of a magic taco, but I don't think so. So I would strongly encourage people that if you needed anything for the gardening season this year and maybe even next year, I would recommend stocking up on that stuff right now, because it very well could be not just hard to find, but it could be exorbitantly expensive. So if you want to support the channel, like, comment, subscribe the video. And I guess if you do want to stock up on preparedness food, go to Freeze Dry Wholesaler. Guys, the best company, the best owner, a real person, a real American patriot, you know, somebody with a good heart, go support Freeze Dry Wholesalers through the link below. You get 15% off whole cuts, sirloin steaks, lobster. If you want something cheaper, they got ground beef. They got something for everybody. Lasts 25 years. Really, it lasts 100 years if you store it right. But I think for legal reasons, they can only say 25 years. But you got to get yourself some of that. Get some Jace Medical if you want to support the channel, and whatever you can, whatever's left at CanadianPreparedness.com. It really is a ghost town, but there is still some gems here and there, and you're going to be paying a lot more for stuff. Apparently, food just went up 2.4% in 1 month, which is a huge increase in 1 month. And really, you know, that's spread across. So a lot of that could be, you know, it could be staples that you need more of that provide 90% of your caloric intake. Maybe that goes up 20%, but, you know, other things only go up, you know, 0.1%. So they average it out. But 2.4% across 1 month is a big deal. And you're going to start to see there's a lot of force majeure being declared in various industries across the world, be they textile industries or plastic industries. So just the packaging for things. I mean, this is upending the entire global economy. So get to it.